Fire rescue, EMS, law enforcement. These are the three components of public safety, and those who answer the call are the first responders. Welcome to another episode of Five Alarm Task Force with your host, Steve Green. Five Alarm Task Force presents some of the best instructors, leaders, and mentors in public safety today to educate, elucidate, and entertain. No topic is out of bounds, and every opinion has value. Five Alarm Task Force is brought to you by Five Alarm Task Force Corp. One family, one mission. First responders helping each other. And our sponsors, Insight Training LLC, your best bet for fire service tick training. The Firehouse Tribune, where you can expand your horizons in emergency services and learn to work hard, stay safe, and live inspired. LifeScan Wellness Centers, saving the lives of America's heroes. And our promotional partners, Chief Miller Products and Sites, Thin Red Line Decon Products, making decontamination as simple as possible for you with decon wipes, shampoo, body wash, and more. Haas Alert, creator of the safety cloud for our roads. Fry Guy Levers and Nestor Bars, the amazing new hand tools for the fire service. Silver Arrow Coaching and Consulting, unlock your potential from burnout to brilliance. Crackle Magazine, serving the International Fire Service. EFT Corporation, 40 plus years of innovation in donation and payment processing solutions. Health KPI, teaching you how to track the right data to stay at the top of your game. The Firefighter Cancer Foundation, fighting to extinguish firefighter cancer since 2004. The Firefighter Cancer Support Network. The Albemarle Sweet Shop, the North Florida Fire Expo, and the Great Florida Fire School. Remember, our ultimate goal is for you to be safe and return home after every call. So insert those earphones or turn up those speakers. The Five Alarm Task Force is being dispatched right now.
Hello and welcome to this episode of Five Alarm Task Force. I'm your host, Steve Green. Happy to be here with you and always happy to have you here with us. Our guest today will be firefighter Danny Beauvais. He is the creator of the Student of the Game podcast, and he has a great story to tell of a relocation from up in the Northeast down to the South and his passion for the fire service. So we'll be talking with Danny in just a couple of moments. Now, if you enjoy this show and you'd like to listen to other versions of the audio version of the podcast, just check out your favorite podcast platform and see if they're there. Most of them carry all the episodes that we've done. Or you can visit our website at www.5-alarmtaskforcecorp.org. And when you get to that homepage, just use the top horizontal menu, select podcast, and that will take you to our entire podcast library. And should you want to watch the videos that we've been doing since about the mid-time of the pandemic, well, you can do that on our YouTube channel. What's its name? Well, guess what? It's the 5-Alarm Task Force Corp. And you can find our videos there. Now, while you're on the website, if you're looking around and listening to those podcasts, you may want to sign up for our newsletter. It comes up four times a year. We do not send spam. We do not give away or sell your email addresses. We protect them as best as possible under the laws of the state of Florida and the federal government. If you ever want to unsubscribe from the newsletter list, all you have to do is send an email to dalmatprod@outlook.com and put the word unsubscribe in the subject line and we'll take you off right away. We'll be sad to see you go, but we want to honor your wishes. We want to, again, thank our friends at Facebook for the likes and the follows and the great comments, and we thank you so very much. It means a lot to us to see the numbers there grow consistently since we first started, and we thank you for that support. It's very important to us, and we hope you tell others about it. Very, very important for that as well. Now, for those of you who listen to the podcast on the audio version only, well, many of the podcast platforms that you like to listen to offer you, the listener, the opportunity of leaving a review either with stars or a couple of sentences about the podcaster. And that is very important, not just to us here at Five Alarm Task Force, but to every podcaster out there who really wants to promote their podcast, as we do here at Five Alarm Task Force. And so when these platforms create the algorithms for their searches, part of the formula of that algorithm is positive star ratings or positive comments. Without star ratings, without any comments or bad comments, that search is going to wind up finding that podcast that that person is looking for way, way, way low at the bottom of the list. You don't want that. We don't want that. That's for sure. So if you could take a moment, we ask you to please just take that moment, leave some star ratings or a sentence or two about the podcast, our guests, and even constructive criticism, because we want to know about it. We want to learn to make sure we're continuing to bring you the topics and the guests that you'd like to hear from. And that's it. That's our business for today. So we're going to take a break here for a couple of announcements. And right after that, we'll be back with Danny Beauvais as we talk about Student of the Game. As always, please stay tuned. New technology for the fire service seems to appear almost every day, and that technology demands a learning curve, especially if we're talking about thermal imaging cameras. That's where Insight Fire Training LLC is your best bet. With an excellent reputation across the U.S., Insight Fire Training will meet all your TIC training needs. Their curriculum is peer-reviewed and has been used internationally. Their instructors are Level 1 thermography certified, and they have taught in 33 states and 4 countries. Their courses run from introductory to training the trainers. Courses are available online, for the classroom, classroom hybrid, and even live fire. Insight Training LLC is proficient in over 40 thermal imaging cameras, so you feel confident they will know your make and model. Best of all, programs are customized to your specific needs, and their cadre of fire service veterans are vetted craftsmen of Project Kill the Flashover. They are so proficient that they have trained TIC manufacturers on how to best use and sell their own product. That's Insight Fire Training LLC. Look them up on InsightTrainingLLC.com. Your best bet for TIC training. Would you like to meet up with Andy and the team from Insight Training LLC? Well, here's part of their upcoming schedule. Next week at the Firehouse Expo 2023 in Columbus, Ohio, Insight Training is truly grateful and honored to return to Firehouse Expo 2023. We will be providing the following: a live fire hot class led by instructor Joey Baxa and the Insight Training cadre on September 25th and 26th. Also, No Excuses Tactics for the Understaffed Department on Wednesday, September 27th at 9:15 a.m., taught by Joey Baxa, Captain Buchanan Fire Department. On Wednesday, September 27th, Training Mayday, I Was Not Ready for This, at 11 a.m., Reagan Underwood, the captain with St. George Fire Department, will talk about his personal experiences. And on Thursday, September 28th, at 9:15 a.m., Andy Starnes, founder and owner of Insight Fire Training, will be conducting his class then. You don't want to miss Insight Training at the Firehouse Expo. Be sure to check out their booth. Also, coming up October 7th and 8th, Intelligently Aggressive Search at Mile High Fire Conference. This course bridges the gap between fundamental search concepts, empirical LODD data, and victim rescues, and takes into account the actual conditions that firefighters will face during these challenging incidents. They are often chaotic, suffering from reduced staffing, and in many cases, the same NIOSH recommendations rise again from the previous LODD reports to be placed yet again on another department that suffers such a tragic loss. The course is offered in the following format. The morning will have a two-hour classroom session, mid-morning drills without live fire, and then afternoon live fire objective-based training. That's October 7th and 8th at the Intelligently Aggressive Search at Mile High Fire Conference. Please be sure to check their website, InsightTrainingLLC.com, or their Facebook page for registrations and additional details. Insight Fire Training LLC, your best bet for TIC training. The Firehouse Tribune has expanded, now bringing you podcasts, presentations, and training blogs. The Firehouse Tribune is an innovative way for emergency services professionals to interact, share ideas, learn, and train. We are inspired by those who came before us and built the path for us to share knowledge and experience with the rest of the emergency services world, where life experiences and training come together. Check out our podcast, Station Talk, and the 5-Tool Firefighter Podcast. Want us to speak at your department or event? Reach out to us to set up workshops at your firehouse or virtual event on topics including the 5-Tool Firefighter, 5 Key Attributes of the Well-Rounded Firefighter, and 6 Tips to Guide the New Fire Officer. Don't forget, you can follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn, and be sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel. For more info, please visit www.thefirehousetribune.com or email us at fhtribunepodcast@gmail.com. The New Firehouse Tribune Services, where we live by one motto, not just in emergency services, but in life. Excellence is a habit, not a goal. We're firefighters. We're law enforcement. But like everyone else, we have our aches and pains, sometimes from the job and sometimes not. We realize there are risks with this job. However, sometimes something is wrong with us and we don't know it. Now what do? Well, LifeScan Wellness Centers are dedicated to saving America's heroes. For most fire and police organizations, LifeScan Wellness Centers will send one of their mobile teams to assess every member of your department with complete and complex physical exams and blood work. Using state-of-the-art medical equipment, LifeScan staff members provide a multi-procedural exam, including cardiac stress tests, basic lab results, and ultrasound exams. LifeScan Wellness exams have saved the lives of dozens of firefighters and police officers across the country. They have found tumors, aortic bulges, lung problems, and more, many of which were asymptomatic. However, early detection allowed most of these colleagues to have their personal medical professionals mitigate the health issue that otherwise might have led to a darker time. For more information, please visit their website at lifescanwellness.com. Remember, LifeScan Wellness Centers, saving the lives of America's heroes. Hello, and welcome to this episode of 5-Alarm Task Force. If you're watching the video, if you're listening to the audio, you've already heard our intro. I'm Steve Green, your host. Happy to be here with you and happy to have you here with us. And today, my guest is a gentleman I've not met before, but I've heard a lot about. His name is Danny Beauvais. He has a nickname, but I'm going to let him tell you about the nickname in just a minute. And Danny started as a volunteer in Rockland County, New York, with Rockland Hook and Ladder Department 17 in Spring Valley. He was there for 2 years before moving to North Carolina due to September 11th affecting his dad's limo business. Once he moved, he found the closest volunteer department near his house and joined. He was there over 10 years, where he climbed up the ranks to assistant chief of training. He was let go after many years of dedication and was very active within the department. During his tenure as a volunteer, he applied at a career fire department in Mooresville Fire Department, not too far from Charlotte.
Uh-huh.
He's been there since 2007 and holds the rank of senior firefighter and relief driver, where he rides Tower Ladder 6. He's always cared about the fire service, but ran to a wall when he felt like mediocrity and complacency were running rampant to the point where he was contemplating leaving. Man, have we heard that before.
Mm-hmm.
That concept of the fact of complacency and mediocrity. We've heard those complaints so many times, unfortunately. Luckily, Danny found 2 podcasts that forever changed his mindset. No, it's not ours. And showed him he wasn't the only person who felt this way regarding the fire service. After attending his first mini fire conference surrounded by like-minded individuals, it sparked a fire in him, letting him know it's okay how he feels about the job and wanting to train and do it correctly. So he started his own podcast called A Student of the Game, and has generated great feedback, but has also put a target on his back. Boy, I've heard that too myself. He just wants people to know it's truly okay to love this profession. And we need to take it seriously, along with setting the tone for success with upcoming future generations. And more, the new generation of firefighters coming up. And Danny, I couldn't agree with you more. And welcome to Five Alarm Task Force. So happy to have you with us today.
Yes, sir. Appreciate it. Appreciate you having me on, sir.
Well, we also have, I think I put in my email to you when I reached out to you, that you and I have North Carolina in common.
Uh-huh.
I became, not that I was looking for it, I became a volunteer firefighter outside, just outside Greensboro in Guilford County.
Okay.
Guilford College Fire Department was right. Drove by it going to the grocery store, and big brick building with big bays, doors open, and big red shiny trucks inside. And I used to drive around Boston. I admired firefighters since I was 7 years old, and we had them come to the house for a small fire in the backyard. And that engineer, while everybody else went to watch the hose, I stayed with the engineer, gave me a lollipop, and told me how the pump worked. Well, I was seven, so I didn't quite get how to calculate friction loss at that point. But it just turned me on to these are very important people. And once I had my bike and then my car, I drove all around Greater Boston, visiting firehouses. And still Boston kind of is my home where I grew up, and met the fire service. And then I was lucky enough that I went in to look at those trucks and wound up half hour later walking out with an application in my hand. And that October of 77 was voted into the department. Basically, it was a volunteer department. They had five paid, the chief, captain, secretary, mechanic, and one of three caretakers that worked 24 on, 48 off to get the first apparatus out the door.
Right.
So when I saw you in Mooresville, I know our good friend Andy Starnes from Insight Trading is right there, Charlotte and Shelby area. I thought, oh man, Mooresville, we've got connection there with North Carolina in the fire service. And I was so glad to see that, because I was very lucky in that department. Here I came in, a city boy. I could use hand tools. Didn't know how to change a spark plug or change the oil in my car. But we had a couple of really great mentors who took me and my buddy, who I met him. He was 18 years old. I was 25. And that kid who was 18 back in 77 is still my best friend today. Works for a sheriff's office up here as a pilot up here in North Central Florida. And we learned a lot together. We spent a lot of time together, a lot of calls together. And I think that's what framed us to be the best that we could be. And okay. We went to the State Fire College. I don't know if they still have it in North Carolina, but they used to have
I believe so.
Yeah, we went 3 years. The chief sent us 3 years in a row. We didn't know why. Basic firemanship first year, hydraulics and engineer second year, and high-level rescue the third year. We didn't know this because he never told us why he sent us, but I met him back again in 2017, my chief. He was still alive back then. And he said, Mr. Green, I bet you and your pal Richard always wonder why I sent you to that fire college. We said, Chief, we talk about it every time we're together. He says, because I saw you boys going to be the captains in the volunteer side. You guys had leadership potential. And I said, geez, why didn't you tell us back then or something like that? Just give us a clue. Because I didn't want to give it away.
Okay.
And because I was so sorry that you boys both left. But the fact that he still cared all those years later, 30 years later, made a big difference to my buddy and I. And I think I've not heard of a firefighter, volunteer or career out of the state of North Carolina, who hasn't had a good experience with their department and learned well with that department. Mm-hmm. Even if they moved on eventually. But uh-huh. I've very rarely heard bad words about people who have learned the trade in the state, either as a volunteer or career. And so when I saw, the bio that Nick shared with me, and then we talked through the email, I just knew that there was a connection there, and I wanted to have you on the show. So let's go back to the beginning. We talked about how you started as a volunteer outside the city, and I don't think there's a firefighter still alive today, at least in this country, and I would venture some of our strong allies who will never forget 9/11,
mm-hmm.
what we lost that day, who we lost that day, from our brothers at FDNY to all the volunteers from Long Island and upstate New York who came down, who we lost, to the citizens, the innocents who lost that day. So although in the bio it mentions it hurt your limo's business, you were already a volunteer, right?
Trying to think. No, I volunteered after 9/11. So when 9/11 occurred, I was at school, of course. And then, you know, we get dropped home and I walk inside my house and my parents are there. My dad obviously was home. He would have been in the city already because normally he leaves around 8:30, 9 o'clock to go into the city for his limo business. But he was home, of course, and we talked about it. And then he was like, hey, we're going to go next door. We were really good friends with our neighbors. He was like, we got to go see Maria. And I was like, why? And he was like, his name is Jafet. He was like, cause Jafet works in the towers. And I'm like, no, he doesn't. And he was like, yeah, he went back. So our neighbor, his name was Jafet RE. And he worked for the Department of Taxation and Finance on the 86th floor. I can't remember which tower though. And on the side, he also had a taxi cab. So my dad like told me like, yeah, he was there. So we went over there. And of course, his wife is getting a bunch of phone calls. We were getting some positive affirmation. We got a call. I remember when I was there, she got a phone call from a coworker who said after everything happened, he was helping people out, directing them down the stairwell. And she was like, let's go. And he was like, yeah, I'm coming. And she made it out. Because she was able to call her. So that kind of gave us some hope. But unfortunately, like so many others, he never came home. And it was kind of surreal because after a couple weeks, his taxi cab was brought home via tow truck. And it was covered in the dust that you saw on the news. Sure. And that was eye-opening for me. Because we were really good friends with their kids. Pretty much he was like a second dad. He was really good with his hands, pretty much like a Bob Vila, man. He had so many machinery. He could build anything. He could do any project. And so after all that happened, I then joined the fire service. I want to say maybe that was 2002 or 2003. One of those years. I can't remember. And the only reason why I joined was because for New York State, in order to graduate high school, you have to have community service hours. So a friend of mine told my mom, hey, just have him go down to the volunteer department, have him clean, mop and stuff and get his community service hours. So my mom was like, hey, just go down there, do that, and you should be good. And this is kind of a funny story. So I went down to the local fire department and then I told them, hey, I'm here to do community service hours. Is there anything I can do? And they're like, yeah, fill this form out and then come back next Monday. And I'm like, okay. Like I said, oblivious. Fill it out. I mean, all my information, all that good stuff. Go back. And he was like, I get there. I forgot who I was talking to. And I was like, well, here's this thing you wanted me to fill out. And they're like, okay, have a seat over here. The membership's inside. We're going to vote on you here in a little bit. Still had no clue. I'm sitting there and I'm like, okay. And then he comes out, he's like, hey, come on inside. And I walk in this room and there's like all these members there. And they're like, we have Danny Bavay. He's a senior at Ramapo High School, blah, blah, blah. All in favor to vote to put on. And they're like, yep. And then all opposed, there was nothing. And then they're like, all right, so come back next week and we'll get you some gear. Still, I have no clue. I'm like, okay. So I come back and then I'm being like sized for gear and they're like, hey, try these pants on, try this jacket on. And then kind of that's when I was kind of like, hey, I'm just here for community service hours. And they're like, the papers that you signed, that's for application of membership. And I was like, oh, okay. And it was probably the greatest mistake that I ever did. My mom, she passed away 10 years ago.
I'm sorry.
My mom hated the fact that she got me into it. She couldn't stand that I was doing this, but I loved every minute of it. It kept me out of trouble. I'd go to school and we had a couple other members that were on the department. So like we would have our minute or pagers on and, you know, if it goes off, we would hear what the call was and we would kind of like meet in the hallways like, hey, did you hear this call? And they're like, yeah. And as soon as school was over, straight to the firehouse. Whether I have to walk, ride my bike or find a ride, that's where I went. I did my homework, and whether I had to walk, ride my bike, or find a ride back home, that's what I did. So that was like, it was a blessing and a curse. I mean, everything I've learned from the senior guys there, learning how to just listen to what they have to tell you. You do it, you know, you do what they ask of you. It was awesome. And so I was in community college at the time. I was studying film. I was going to school for film. And my dad's like, hey, me and your mom, we're moving. You can stay if you want, or you can come with us. And I was like, no hesitation. Yeah, let's get out of here. Like, I'm a diehard New Yorker. I love New York, but it's crazy in New York right now. Taxes, the era I used to live in has totally changed. So I wanted to do something different. So we moved down. And like I said, like in the bio said, I found the closest volunteer fire department. I joined, and I never missed a beat. And I thought it was funny because in New York, I was on the Spring Valley Fire Department, SVFD. And then when I moved down to North Carolina, I joined another SVFD fire department, but it was called Shepherd's Volunteer Fire Department. So it was just one of those things. It was like, oh, cool. A cool little quick story, too. You know, up north, when you're a volunteer, you have lights that you can use when you respond to calls. And nobody ever told me. So upstate, back in New York, we use blue lights.
Blues. Yeah. I lived in Syracuse for 4 years. Yeah.
Okay. So coming down here, I had a blue light I never got rid of.
Uh-oh.
And I had a maroon Nissan Altima. And we had a call. And I get in my car and I go to firehouse. And I'm like, man, people are pulling over like incredibly nice, like really nice. So I pull in the fire station and another member's there and he comes outside. He's like, hey, did you run that light all the way here? I said, yeah, I sure did. That blue light. Yeah. He was like, you do know blue's for police, right? I was like, no, I thought blue is for, it's the universal sign for firefighters. And so he chuckled and laughed and he was like, how was traffic? I was like, man, traffic got out of my way. And he was like, yeah, because they thought you were a cop. He's like, lucky you didn't pass a cop in your maroon Nissan Altima. Like, that's a heck of a undercover vehicle. So
that's a great story.
I joined there and that was it. Like, I kind of put film off to the side. I still kind of dabble. I do a little video editing here if I ever want to do, like, I got a helmet cam for the fire department I work now. So if I ever want to put stuff together.
Oh, that's great.
I did year-end review videos for the volunteer department that I was on. So like the film side never left me, but the fire department just took over. And after a couple of years, you know, volunteering, they were like, hey, Moores was getting ready to hire a good group of guys for a new station. You should apply. And I'm like, oh, I could do this like full time. And they're like, yeah, you could do it full time. So I took their agility test, which at the time was one of the hardest agility tests that I remember in North Carolina. We no longer do it anymore. And I wish we did, because that test right there would show if you had heart to continue, you know, if you really wanted this job, you would do it. And so I passed, and then I got hired, and that was it. And
that's a great story. It really is. It really is. You know, it's funny because you mentioned, but you didn't know. So when I first met the chief that day, he said, well, you'd be, and I'd come from where I worked at a synagogue, and I was wearing a 3-piece suit. And he said, you know, we'd like you, you could be a really good member. You know, you'd be our first college graduate in this department. I said, okay. Thank you, sir. But I have a full-time job. I can't work at the, he goes, no, we're a volunteer department. You can just volunteer when you can answer a call. If you can't answer a call, you can't come. That's all. That's fine with us. And I said, okay, took the applications, talked with my wife. So at the meeting to be voted in, it was going to be on one of the holidays, Chief holidays. And I said to the chief, I said, chief, I can't come next week because it's a holiday and I got to be at the synagogue. He says, Mr. Green, if you want to be a member here, you have that butt in the chair. So I said, okay. So I made arrangements. Luckily, the guy who was the custodian was another volunteer at a station about 5 miles away from us. So he said, don't worry, Steve, I'll close up. I'll take care of it. And I run there. The parking lot is full. I had to park on grass. And I run into the meeting room. And of course, there's only one chair left. And it's in the front row. So I have to walk down the middle aisle in a 3-piece suit and go to that and sat down in the one chair right in front of the chief's table. And next to me was this kid wearing a torn t-shirt and gym shorts. And I sat down, I go, hi. He goes, hi. He goes, he looks double take, goes, were we supposed to dress up for this? And I said, yeah, didn't you get the message? He goes, no, what am I supposed to do? I said, I'm just kidding. I said, there was no message. I said, I just came from work at the synagogue. He goes, are you Jewish? I said, yeah. He goes, me too. We shook hands. That was our first meeting. And like I said, okay. He's still my best friend 40 plus years later.
Okay.
Matter of fact, he's coming down Sunday to stop by and visit. And we learned together. He had run a little running with Bethesda Chevy Chase in Maryland. Mm-hmm. As a 17-year-old, as a senior in high school. And so we had a little bit, but we learned fire. And we had what we call the baptism of fire, which was after the meeting. They said, okay, you seven guys were admitted. Welcome to the club. We want to show you the most important part of the truck, the engine, which is the pump and the impeller. So I'm going to open up this cap on this right side. And when I tell you to you, I want you guys to look right in there. So you'll see the impeller. That's what gets the water. Without that impeller, we can't put out a fire. So we all get down there. We're hunching together. He takes the cap off. He goes, you boys ready? We said, yeah. He opens up the valve. And of course, 50 gallons of water comes out. And and so I was everybody. And I'm wearing this suit. And I'm going, oh my God. I start laughing my ass off. And Rich, my buddy, is laughing. And the other guy started laughing too. And just I said, well, welcome to the fire service, boys.
Right.
And that was it. That was the only time that anything like that ever happened. And okay. Considering that he and I were both Jewish, you know, in the middle of the Bible Belt, we were a little bit concerned. And yet we had nothing to be concerned about because those 3.5, almost 4 years there were some of the best years of my life. We had people, I was more observant than Rich was, but very respectful, and we had a great time, and I did everything I could to be part of the department. The annual roast, they take the pork butts, we cook them in our big fireplace we had for the to do this cooking every year and stuff like that. And I went there early Saturday morning, and you know, I was there at 6 a.m. to help and do everything I could, because these people were helping me. I was seeing a new part of my life that I never expected. I always admired, but I didn't think I could ever be a part of it.
Right.
And thank goodness, because of my experience there, it's still who I define myself as today. You know, I'm still a man of faith. I'm a husband. I'm a father, and I'm a firefighter. And I've said this multiple times. So, if you've heard me say this, I apologize. But I've always carried, since the day I left Syracuse when I got injured out, the department outside Syracuse, I've always carried a full BLS bag in my car, ropes, gloves, tie-offs, everything I could think out of my pocket that I could pay for to help me. And I have stopped well over 200 times, being the first or second on the scene before EMS, fire, or police.
Okay.
And to me, even though with my back issues and stuff like that, people say, well, how can you do it with your back? I said, it's the adrenaline. It's who I am. I can't drive by somebody who needs help. And I don't think there is a firefighter who could or would. You know, we can go all the way back to the show Emergency, which was one of the things that really got me interested, even though I wasn't going to do it, didn't plan on it. But there were a couple of episodes where they weren't on duty. They were on their own. They're on vacation. But they still stopped to help people in an emergency situation.
Right.
And I think that's who we are. We don't worry if we're in the brick building or not. We don't worry if we're on our regular apparatus or not. If we see somebody who needs help, if we're walking, if we're driving our cars, we're going to stop and see what we can do to help.
Absolutely.
And that's who we are. You know, it's who we are. So I'm so happy to hear that your transition moving from New York down here with really nothing that you knew about for North Carolina answered basically your unsaid prayers.
Right.
You know, and the fact that that small experience in that firehouse was so positive for you, even though, you know, they treat you like the probie, they treat you like the kid in the firehouse, they still respected you.
Uh-huh.
That's the key. Because I remember Rich and I decided we're going to, when they're going to wash the trucks, we're going to wash the trucks. When they're going to sweep the floor, I learned how to use the floor, the scrubber.
Okay.
Up and down. I saw my custodians use it. I never used it, but I learned how to do it because that was part of for me, that was being a member of that firehouse. That was my job. I had to help there too. I just can't say, oh, I'm only responding and I'll only respond if I'm in the right seat or that kind of BS. No, we have jobs to do in the firehouse.
Right.
And I felt that if I was going to be a contributing member of that department, I had to do whatever I had to do to make myself worthy to everybody else. Because I came from nothing. I didn't have any fire background.
Uh-huh.
And so I am just so grateful for those nearly 4 years with that department. And then I got hired by EMS for about a year and a half as a fill-in. But those experiences were some of the best times of my life. I made a best friend other than my wife and met lots of friends that I'm still in touch with through social media and things like that.
Okay.
And it brought me to with guys like Andy and Nick and Joe DeVito. I'm not sure if you know Joe from
Fort
Myers. Yep.
Yeah. I talked to actually Joe two days ago.
Yeah. And, you know, they're the ones who said to me, you know, Steve, you've got radio background, you've got AV background for years, been on the radio at school and doing another fire show with somebody else. He goes, you should do a podcast. And I said, okay, I'll try that. What's a podcast? And they said, what do you mean, what's a podcast? I said, I learned everything analog. I didn't know anything digital. What's a podcast? He goes, well, it's like a radio show that you record and put on social media. I said, how do you do that? He said, well, you'll have to learn on your own, but we think you got to do it. Well, 2016, we started, and thanks good Lord above and a very understanding wife and kids. Here we are in our eighth season. So
awesome.
For me, meeting you today and having you as a guest has a lot more meaning for me than a lot of the other guests. I love having my guests. I love learning from every one of them. Because Nick probably shared with you that I am the one who told him that we always have to learn.
Right.
Yeah. How many years I don't care if you're the probie or if you've got 30 in, you must be willing to still learn. And the day you don't want to learn anymore is the day you walk out that door.
Absolutely.
Right. And then when I heard on your interview with Nick that, you know, student of the game, there's not a better title for a podcast to talk about the fire service.
Uh-huh.
You have to be, you're not just a volunteer member. You're not just a member of the game.
Right.
Have to be a student of the game. I've been a teacher and educator for over 50 years. I'm still not stopped. I still teach today privately. And to me, it's one of the most important aspects after the health initiative and the behavioral health initiatives. Education in the fire service, to me, is after those two, has to be primary.
Uh-huh.
If you're not willing to learn and expand your abilities and horizons of what you and your knowledge, you can't do the job efficiently.
Absolutely.
Can you go through the motions? Yeah. Most of us went through a blackout with our masks, whether you wore the hood or they blacked out the regular visor and you're in that cardboard tunnel, whatever tunnel you use.
Uh-huh.
And we didn't have academies in my day. So you go through it and you don't see a damn thing. But I learned from that when I made it out that I learned something by crawling through that tunnel blind.
Okay.
I learned something that might save my life or save the life of somebody else. And that I have to look at any exercise I did in fire service as an educational endeavor. And there I was teaching. I was the principal of a religious school. So how could I not agree to that? I'm being the principal of a school.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, to have somebody, and I've been lucky. I mean, you're not the only, but I've had great, great leaders and instructors. You know, I had the late Bobby Halton on. I had Chief Bruno on, may he rest in peace. I've had some of the best. Chief Billy Goldfed has been on. I just had some of the great people who are instructors and people who do other podcasts about the fire service who share the idea of learning all the time. And the very name of yours talks about learning the fire service.
Right.
That's what it is. Because, you know, it doesn't say how to have a good time in the fire service. It doesn't say how to make friends and woo enemies in the fire service. It is, you have to be a student of the game.
Uh-huh.
Right. Now, let me ask you this question. Since you're on a truck company now.
Yes.
Right in Mooresville. And you had been on an engine company prior?
I was on an engine company.
But as a volunteer, were you on an engine company?
So the volunteers, the station I was at, so Department 17 is made up of three different firehouses. You have the Spring Valley Hill Hooks, the Colombian Engine Company, and Rockland Hook and Ladder. So Rockland Hook and Ladder, our Quint, which was called 17 Quint, it actually had hose and it had water. It was 300 gallons. And we had a rescue truck, 17 Rescue, American La France. It also had water. I want to say it was another 300 gallons. So I wasn't like, but back then I didn't really know anything between engines and ladders. I mean, yeah. You can obviously tell the difference between a ladder and an engine company, but I was just taught like, this is what we do. This is how we fight fire. This is how you use your SCBA and things of that nature and stuff like that. But when I came down here, Shepherd's had, it was a volunteer department at two stations and we had engines and tankers. What threw me for a loop, back home, we had a truck, or the Colombians had a truck called 17 Tanker. It was a, I can't remember the year, it was a Sutphin. So when I came down here, I saw my first ever two-door commercial cab fire truck. And I kind of looked at the guy, I was like, what's that? He was like, oh, that's our tanker truck. I'm like, where do you put your people? He's like, it only has room for two. And that was new to me, because everything up north was custom apparatus where you could fit 6 to 8 guys. So that was like a culture shock. And then they had a 3,000 gallon tandem axle tanker. And I'm like, whoa, like this is wild. And he was like, yeah, we have areas where we don't have hydrants or we have to do water shuttles. So that's why we have tankers. So Shepherd's was pretty much all engine company and a tanker. And then later on, we actually got a dedicated rescue truck. So all I know is engine company work, really. When I got hired in Mooresville, I was on an engine company for 15 years.
Oh, wow.
And so our latest station, which I'm at now, they were going to make it a ladder company. And I wanted to do something different. And, you know, there's always a bicker and banter, yeah. You know, good jabs back and forth to guys between the engine and the truck. I think both equally are very important. Of course, you're going to have those guys that are going to go, you know, the truck work, we open up so we can see, you know, you guys open up so you can see what real firemen look like. And then, you know, they always, you know, trucks are a bunch of guys that can't really read books or whatnot. But I just wanted to do something different. And granted, our truck is, it's not a true truck. It's a Quint. We have a first due area. We have cross lays. It's got 300 gallons, but I just wanted to just do a different type of work. And I will say the truck aspect, I actually like it. It's a different type of body mechanics, throwing ladders, doing a search. We have a full complement of tools. So like if it's some sort of extrication, we'll be doing that too. And then there's a potential of high angle and, you know, high angle rescue, low angle rescue. So I was like, I want to give it a shot. And I love them both. I like them both, but I just like the fact that I'm doing something different compared to, you know, being on an engine for 15 years. I just wanted to try something out, you know, get out of my comfort zone pretty much.
Yeah, we had a snorkel, a 75-foot snorkel, as we had our main engine. Oh, and by the way, you said the station up in Spring Valley was 17, where you were at?
Department 17.
Yeah, well, Guilford College Fire Department, when I was there, was station 17.
Okay.
Also, okay. And we had engine 171, which we got, they had already put in all the specs for it, all our apparatus except for our old tankers and our old rescue were all the new stuff that they ordered were Pierce Customs, and then they ordered the snorkel, 75-foot snorkel on a Pierce, you know, engine, and sure. We had 5 pails of AFFF kept on that. We had a tanker at our station 17. We had another tanker and an engine at station 19. Everybody carried five gallon pails in those days. Okay. But it was the same thing. One of the things they had to do, and I was acrophobic. I was afraid of heights since I was 5 years old. So first thing was that third training week that third month of training that night, we had to climb to the top of the snorkel. So okay. Put on the belt and hooked into the rail. And I told Chief, mm-hmm. I may not be able to do this. He goes, Steven, I want you to keep trying, keep climbing rung by rung, one at a time. Okay. And I was getting more and more nervous. And I was waiting for this anxiety attack to come over. And I finally got it. And I had to hit the speaker button to let it, I'm here. He goes, very good. I said, can I come down? And he goes, yeah, just one moment. Then they start turning the table and then bending it and lifting it. And I said, you keep that up, Chief. I'm going to puke. So make a decision if you want to be the catcher or you want to be out of the way. So he says, okay, stop. Let him come down. And then 2 years later, when I went to the fire college, I took high level rescue.
Okay.
And I did it. I was able to do it. I came over as a victim in the Stokes, was a rescuer doing the rappelling off the top. I thought I'd never be able to do that in my life. Mm-hmm. But, when you have good training and good trainers, which is key,
right,
to a firefighter success is having a good trainers, then you can do almost anything you need to do.
Right.
And the fact that you've made these changes and you like making the change from the engine company to the truck company, whether it's a Quint or not, you're still doing truck work basically,
mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of people just say, if I'm not on there, then, I'm out. No, you said I'd like to do, and you're 15 years.
Yeah.
That's a long time between making a change.
Right.
But you love it. And I think that says a lot about, number one, your department. It says, number two, about you, the kind of firefighter you are and the kind of, if I'm in for a penny, I'm in for the pound. And you just want to keep fighting fire and protecting the people of your community in Mooresville.
Absolutely.
And, to me, that's really defines who we are. We might, we had our rescue was an old Ford panel truck with it, like a body put on it. And we didn't have a lot of stuff. And in those days, we didn't even have the Hurst tool was just coming out. And the only one who carried it was the ops director of EMS.
Okay.
The only one in the county who had that hydraulics tool was the ops director. And so on a regular call, they're not going to, come out.
Right.
You say your extrication was really, really bad because we used the come along. We used pry bars. We used everything, every hand tool you could. But that was just part of, and then watching that being demoed, I said, we got to do that. We got to do that, Chief. Didn't turn out, but still got to learn about it, studied it. I read the trades every month. The magazines were there, and then I started at the station, and then I started subscribing and reading and learning. Read every article I could in every magazine, because that's the only way, besides my training, I feel I could improve myself, is by learning what other people do, how they do it. And then the chief and I became close friends and the captain. And I just thought, I just want to do my best for them.
Mm-hmm.
And for the people, my colleagues and stuff like that. Unfortunately, I was disabled out after 8 years, four down there and four outside of Syracuse due to an injury. But it's who I define myself as. And I can see the same in you. With everything else you love to do in film and, my background, I grew up in with electronics and AV and stuff like that. I did it for years and years. But those 8 years are, other than my wife and my two daughters, those 8 years, eight years are the most important years of my life.
Uh-huh.
And uh-huh. I miss it like hell. So having people who are so connected to, not just I get a paycheck for being a firefighter. No, you're one of those people who loves doing it, loves doing the job. Yeah, there's always some BS that we put up with in the firehouse or
absolutely.
Stuff like that.
Right.
But I don't care if you're a stock clerk at a grocery store, there's going to be BS we all put up with.
Mm-hmm.
The fact is our dedication and how do we define ourselves? And I think, and we're going to pick up in just a moment, we're going to come into part two with, we want to talk about the actual podcast that you do and why you started it and its purpose as you see it. But I think that if there's one takeaway I want our viewers and listeners to from this from you is that you didn't let the move change you. You didn't let a new volunteer department change you, except for the better. And then you decided it was so much that you could do that you could go to a career department, and look how far you've come with them in this time frame. So you are a wonderful example to the men and women out there today who might be starting out and say, oh, I don't know if this is for me, and I'm not sure the way they treat us. You have to understand that we're our own little society in each firehouse. And you could have three firehouses in the same department, and they won't be the same.
Exactly. Yeah,
you answer the calls, but the firehouse and the people inside them are going to be different each time, different personalities, different likes, dislikes. And if you're a well-rounded person, you kind of go with the flow.
Right.
And that's all. I mean, you know, I didn't know what to expect being first college graduate, let alone being Jewish in going into this department, but it was a wonderful experience. And I was accepted warmly, and never, ever once was there any slurs or any ill words ever said, or even if I didn't hear it, nobody ever told me that they ever heard it from anybody else. And that meant a lot to me about the integrity of the people I was working with. I still call it working because we're still volunteers, but we worked every call together, you know? That's who they are. And I'm thrilled for you, because I heard part of this through Nick's interview, but not as much as you've shared here. And I am just so happy that you found this passion that was an accident like mine. You just went to earn community service hours.
Right.
And turn into your livelihood.
Right. Yeah.
So, and for me, it's been a life goal that I'm able to keep alive through the podcast and, you know, those rare occasions when I have to help. So folks, we're going to take a break here. When we come back, we're going to learn more about Danny's podcast, A Student of the Game, and why it's so important and what he looks to do with it. So if you're watching the video, you're not going to see anything different. If you're listening to the audio, well, you know, we're going to take a pause here. We'll have a few public service announcements, and then we'll be right back with our second part of our interview with firefighter Danny Beauvais from the Mooresville, North Carolina Fire Department. We'll be right back right after these words. As always, please stay tuned.
The tone sounds and the dispatcher announces, stations 14 and 16, working residential structure. And that was all you needed to hear. You jump up from your chair, head to the engine, and climb into the jump seat. As the cue screams, you take stock of your PPE. Bunker pants, check. Turnout coat, check. Hood, check. Gloves, check. Escape line, check. SCBA strapped on, you're ready. Upon arrival, you jump off the apparatus, grab the loops of the Red Cross lei, and head for the open front door, where smoke is pouring out. You make sure your buddy is behind you. Crouch low and make your way inside, your trusty SCBA mask hanging on your tool belt. What? Stop everything! What the hell are you thinking? You see, it's a working room and contents fire, and the smoke is banking down almost to the floor. Who do you think you are, Superman? One breath of that crap and the smoke will damage you in some way, guaranteed. All the soot, carbon, carcinogens, and other outgassing materials will enter your body through the pores on your unprotected face. Don't be the domino, the first person down, that forces everyone else to change their tasks to take care of you. Always remember, face peace on. You have comrades depending on you and a family to go to. Face peace on.
You show up for your shift, but you're not feeling 100%. You greet your colleagues with a smile, but just can't put your finger on it. I'll shake it off in an hour, you think to yourself. You take a couple of nothing runs, but you're still not feeling any better when you get back to the barn. You throw some cold water on your face and think, yeah, that's more like it. And you head back to the day room. With training scheduled for after lunch, you make yourself comfortable in one of the recliners, but as you sit there, you feel ill. You start to sweat, and you feel nauseous. There's a pain in your left arm that you've never had before. Hey guys, you call out. I'm not feeling well. And your voice trails, your eyes close, and the darkness surrounds you. More firefighters die from cardiovascular health issues than any other reason. Don't let self-pride get in the way of taking care of yourself. See your doctor on a regular basis, and be sure to advise him or her that you're a firefighter. Don't be a statistic. Be a healthy firefighter with a long career. For more information, visit the IAFF, NVFC, or IAFC SHS websites.
It just slows me down.
It's too hard to do it and put my gear on.
I'm not comfortable.
I'm a big guy. I can't do it.
I'm just not comfortable wearing it.
You gotta be kidding me. Real firefighters don't need them.
Come on. There's no way I can wear my SCBA and my seatbelt at the same time.
Yes, we've heard all the excuses, but we can think of at least one good reason why you should buckle up. Can't you? Be a hero to those who mean the most to you. Buckle up. A message from the National Fallen Firefighters Foundation.
If you like a good firefighting conference where you can learn, you can share, you can teach, and you can enjoy, well, the North Florida Fire Expo is the place to be. It is an affordable, unapologetically blue-collar fire conference for firefighters who are hungry to learn and improve. Our mission is to passionately pursue excellence through authentic blue-collar training. Come celebrate the 5th year anniversary, February 7th through 10th, 2024, on the beautiful beaches of Okaloosa Island, Florida. For more information, check out their website at www.NorthFloridaFireExpo.com. Again, that's www.NorthFloridaFireExpo.com. You don't want to miss it.
Hello and welcome back to this episode of Five Alarm Task Force. My guest today is firefighter Danny Beauvais. He is, let's see, right now he is a senior firefighter. He's relief driver on Tower Ladder 6 with the Mooresville Fire Department. Now, I mentioned that when I introduced Danny, and we're going to start the segment two of this. When he sent me his bio, I knew his name was Danny Beauvais because my good friend Nick Higgins told me, and I heard Nick's interview with him. But when he sent me his bio, it has Danny, and in quotes, he has brown guy Beauvais.
Yep. Now,
yes, Danny is African American, but why would you give yourself the name brown guy?
So that was kind of a funny thing. So at the time when I joined Mooresville, it's the community is predominantly white. There are blacks and, you know, Latinos and whatnot, but the ratio of whites to blacks is there's more whites. So when I joined Mooresville, there was a black guy there. His name was Jonathan Miller. They call him Pooh. And so this was like a joke between me and him. Pooh's a little bit darker than I am. So when I joined the fire department, I was like, hey, I said, there's two of us now. I was like, I'm going to call myself the brown guy and you'll be whoever you want. But that's just my nickname. So it just stuck. And I kind of use it to lighten the mood, you know, with people, because nowadays, you know, everybody's so sensitive about this and that. So it's like a good icebreaker. I'll just introduce myself as the brown guy. People kind of will look at me like, what? And I'm like, yeah, it's OK. Like, it's fine. I actually tried to get it stitched on the back of my gear when I was getting new turnout equipment. And the chief was like, no, that would be an HR nightmare. And I'm like, I'll go to HR and tell them it was my idea. Like, I think it's just something. Long story short, it didn't happen.
Right.
But if that's pretty much my handle. It's how I introduce myself to people. And it's just like a good icebreaker because, you know, everybody takes things so seriously nowadays. And so it's just one of those. I'm one of those guys. I like to have fun. And so it's just one of those good little icebreakers for me.
That's great. It really is. And I commend you for that. I think you have a wonderful outlook about it. And you're absolutely right. What I will say is that one of the things I really loved about North Carolina, and I have friends who moved from here up there, and I have friends who lived there still that I knew when I lived there 40 years ago, was that I just lost my train of thought with that. But oh, I know what it was that the people I found, and one of my good friends who's up there says, he says, it's so different up here, Steve. People are so nice. And he lives in Greensboro, just outside, you know, in the county, just off the city line. And he says, you can go to the doctor's office. They take you within 5-10 minutes. You go to a restaurant, somebody holds the door open if you're going in, or I'll hold it for somebody going out. And they say, thank you.
Right.
He says, he goes, we didn't have any of that down in Florida. I said, no, you're right. He says, was it this way when you lived there? I said, absolutely. And I've been back multiple times to see our friends there. And they're absolutely right. There's something really nice and sweet about being in North Carolina. Now, is it problem-free? Absolutely not. No places. But I found the people that I met in North Carolina to be some of the nicest, caring people that I've met in my life. And even since that time, not just when I was there, since that time, I've been in Ohio, in the greater Boston area, here in Florida, a couple of different places. But the people in North Carolina were always, to me, the nicest people I could meet. So let's get to your podcast. How did you come up with a name? Why did you want to do the podcast in the first place?
Probably it was, I'm on my 16th year, so probably around year 14, 13 and a half, 14. I've always been very passionate and love the fire service, love fire trucks, love cleaning trucks. Anything I own or anything or any place I work for, like I like things clean, neat, and tidy. It's just the way my parents brought me up. Yep. So I hit a wall where I noticed like we'd come into work and the trucks were filthy or the station was filthy. And I'm like, what'd y'all do all day? And, you know, they'd be like, oh, you know, we had this, that, and the other. And, you know, my phone, we have an app called Active 911 and it shows all the calls. So I can go back and be like, oh, you ran a whopping 2 calls. Yeah. Guys were so busy. Or it was a nice sunny day and the truck's filthy from the rainstorm the day before. And it's just kind of like, I get frustrated and then I would let it eat at me. And so I got to the point where, you know, we had guys that they just want to come in, sit on the couch, watch TV, not really want to train. And so I would go out in the bay and I would do something myself, or I'd wash the truck myself, or they'd come outside and be like, oh, I didn't know you're washing the truck. And I've been out there for like 2 hours, you know? So it was always some sort of excuse. And a buddy of mine was like, hey, have you ever listened to a podcast? I'm like, I've heard the word podcast. I was like, I don't really know what it is. And he was like, well, give me your phone. And he was like, listen to this podcast. And it was, at the time, it was Fit to Fight Fire with John Spear, Tom Johnson, and Craig Stalloway. And so I started listening from episode 1 and 2 and 3. And it was the same message of working out, loving the job, don't believe in mediocrity, train as if your life depended on it, train as if you would want to be that person saving your family. And so when I started listening to the guests and how they talked about the same issues I was having, I'm like, okay, so I'm not the only one that's dealing with this. I'm not the only one that feels like I would let the prior shifts not doing their job like ruin my entire mood. Like it would frustrate me really bad. And so I finally kind of learned to keep that in check through physical fitness. Whenever I felt like that angry, I would just go for a run. And after the run, I'd be like, I'd get it all out, or I'd do a workout of some sort. And so as I kept listening and listening, I'm like, okay, if I'm going to be the only one out in the bay training, it is what it is. The way I looked at it is the fire service, it's a team sport. Your crew is a team sport. But they're going to notice the one guy that's on his P's and Q's. Like he doesn't miss a beat while the others might struggle. And so I never wanted to be known as that person. When I first started in Mooresville, I was like 120. I was tall, skinny, but very, my weight wasn't there. So with working out, I am proud to say now I weigh 184 and I'm 6'1". I put on some muscle mass, and that has definitely helped me continue working out. And then I have a family now. I have a wife. We have almost a 5-year-old daughter. So listening to how they talked about, you know, family, faith, I'm not a huge, I do believe in God, that's for sure. Cause all the stuff I've seen people that shouldn't have survived what they did. I've seen people who have died that we brought back. So, I'm not going to say I'm a huge faith person. I don't really go out and talk about faith, but I do believe in God. So all that just, you know, kind of shaped me. And of course, when you're younger, you think, you know, it all, the world revolves around you. But as you get older, you know, your mind changes and I start listening more. I read a couple more books and stuff just to get my education and my literature up. One night, I forgot to mention this. Another podcast I listened to was Jake Barnes, 3-Point Firefighter. Awesome podcast. And I liked how Jake talks because he talks like me. I can turn it off when I need to, but I do swear, like I'm a pirate at work, but I use it with passion, not just to say it. You know, if I say something and I'm happy my firefighter does something, oh, I'm going to drop a couple, but it's to keep him motivated. Huh. Like, you know, awesome. Yep. Keep going. So, I was sitting at home and I was like, you know what? Like, I'd love to talk to some guys where like, it's not just me. And so I attended my first micro conference in Charlotte, Carolina Fire Days, where I was around a bunch of dudes that were just into the job. You know, I talk about my problems. They're like, man, we have the same type of individual here. We have the same type of issues at my department. So I was sitting, my wife, we're just laying down watching TV. And I'm like, hey, I was like, I got an idea. I want to start a podcast. And she's like, okay. My wife, me and her, you know how they say opposites attract? She's the rule follower. I'm the rule bender. I will bend rules for my liking while she follows it. But she's like, yeah, if you want to do it, just go ahead and do it. So I sat down and I was like, okay, this is who I would want to contact. And because I've been listening at that point, I was listening to podcasts for over 2 years. So I've heard the names of like Andy Starnes and I've heard his story. Awesome dude. His message that he lives and preaches, man. Like, we have people in this job, in this field, that take this profession as a joke. You know, they always say, oh, that'll never happen here. They could be on the couch all day, not want to train. Man, when that bell goes off, I'll be ready. You know, they're lying to themselves. Mm-hmm. So I wrote down a list of things. And then I was like, all right, what am I going to call this? And so, yeah, I threw out some things. I thought about like some cliche fire type things. I'm like, I don't like that. And then so I was like, well, I've been in the fire service with volunteer and career experience over 19, 20 years. So I'm like, I'm always learning something every day. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to call it a Student of the Game Fire Podcast, because you literally like, I'll go into work one day and I'll watch somebody do a maneuver or say something that I've never heard of. And then I'm like, explain that. And then they do. And I'm like, holy cow, I never thought of it that way. So you are constantly learning in this, mm-hmm. in this profession. So I was like, that's the name. And so I had a picture that I had, the picture that I used, that's actually me. It was when I was back on an engine company. I was manning a hand line on a gas leak. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to use that picture. And I'm gonna put it black and white and whatnot. And then so I just ran with it. I started, I got a Zoom account. I had to learn how podcasts actually work, because when I tried to do it, they're like, oh, you need an RSS feed and a license. I'm like, oh, okay. I'm like, this is kind of weird. So I had to do some research on it, but I got it all done. And then I just started reaching out to people. And the feedback that I have received, I had gotten many different messages on my Facebook or my Instagram telling me to keep going. I've gotten handwritten letters, go in the mail and I'll get something. I'll get like a shirt from an individual. And then he or she has wrote a handwritten letter telling me to keep going. What I'm doing is great. I've gotten a lot of positive feedback. People at my job, when they found out, I'm sure were kind of skeptical. And but like I think yesterday I just pushed out episode 60 and I started this in March. So I have been constantly just getting after it, grinding it out. And yeah, that's how it's happened. I'm going to continue to go because I have so many people behind me that are like, hey, man, keep doing what you're doing. On my podcast, I talk very passionately because I believe that the fire service world now is changing. You know, before it was a we are first mindset where that's backwards. It's the citizens that come first. We are second. And yes, I want to go home. I have a beautiful family, my dad, my sister, and all that good stuff. But we signed up to help people on their worst day. Right. So all that encompassed in my head. And so, like I said, I've always been that passionate, but I was always at work. I never really said much up until a couple of years ago where if I wanted to interject on something or if I didn't agree with an individual, we wouldn't have arguments. We'd have debates, but right. at the end of the debate, we'd still be friends.
Right.
And they would see like, he's got some passion in him and he's got some fire. So like when you listen to me talk, you know, I take physical fitness, I take training, I take wanting to promote what I call sometimes too early, very seriously. And I'm not saying I want people to take my career path. I mean, it took me 15 years to promote to the next step because I wanted to know my job. I enjoyed being in the back. I'm still in the back, but whenever they need a driver at a different station or my engineer's off, I move up and I drive. And I take driving seriously. I take every single role seriously in the fire service because you have to. If you want to be an officer, you can't just be an officer just for the title, for the bugles. You need to be an officer because you want to lead people. You want to affect change. Same way as driving. I take driving very personally because my end goal would be to be a true driver. But right now at my department, if you want to be an engineer, you have to ride the seat. And I just don't want to do that. So right now I kind of have the best of both worlds where I can drive and I can be in the back. But driving, and we've recently hired a lot of new people coming on, you know, and I see people, they just see it as, oh, I get to drive a fire truck, lights and sirens. I can kind of go around cars, kind of, you know, you have to stop at red lights, but I can kind of, you know, go through red lights. And I'm like, that's the wrong mentality. Driving is just more than going up and down the road with the cue and the air horn. You got to be able to know what the truck's telling you when you're pumping it. You have the guys in the back are depending on you. Like when you're driving, you got to take that role seriously where you don't want to get anybody hurt. You definitely don't want to hit a citizen's outside while going to a call. And so many people are just, or not, I don't want to say so many people, but some people take that, the whole aspect of it for granted. I can't stand a dirty fire truck because those things cost money, especially nowadays. Engines going near $1 million. So I hate whenever people just treat it like, well, it's not mine. I just work here. Like that stuff gets under my skin. And so anybody like my crew knows. And I put it on my social media, you will know that I was working because that truck will be clean at the end of the shift. Tire shine, the truck's clean. There's no fingerprints. It's swept out, things of that nature. I take pride in what we do because if you don't take care of that equipment is what is taking care of you. So, that's just my, and I love talking to people. I love hearing how different departments do things and how we can maybe bring it back to my department. I like hearing whenever I talk to people that are going through the same issues that we are. And it's like, okay, letting other people know you're not alone. There's other individuals out there that are dealing with the same thing. And just creating a network where if you are that person that's working out in the bay by yourself, it's okay. Keep going. Don't stop. Don't let these guys that are sitting in the recliners ruin your mood. You know, if you're assigned at a bad station, it won't last forever because I was, and I learned things from that bad officer that, and now that I have a good officer, you know, so you take the good with the bad. So that's pretty much why I started it. And, I've gotten really good positive feedback off of it.
And that's wonderful. And I'm so glad to hear that because you're bringing a relatively fresh mind, a fresh view to the fire podcast arena. We have a lot of people that do podcasts on just certain specifics, and they've had some good stuff there. Mm-hmm. But I think if you're going to do a podcast for the fire service, you got to cover the various aspects that we do. Mm-hmm. And I'm glad you talk about the passion, because number one, to, you know, like you said, you've just released episode 60 and you've only started in March. This is my 220 okay. After 7 years, but it's not an easy job to do a podcast,
right?
You know, people think, well, you just get on there and you can talk. Like, I've only done one podcast that ever was just me, only okay. one. And every other one was with a guest.
Okay.
Because I didn't serve long. I was only in for 8 years before I got disabled out. So I'm not one to talk about all this and all that, because I didn't have the growth opportunity that like you had, even with the changes. I went to, you know, two different departments because we moved, hurt my knee so bad to the point where my doctor said, you can't run calls anymore. So all I could do is I set up a video, spoke with the chief, and I said, how about if I set up a video unit, and we'll store the stuff in the big rescue, and I'll meet the rescue on scene, and I'll start shooting videos so we can use them for after action reviews and stuff like that. He said, okay. So I did that for a while, and you know, until we wound up, I got a job down in Florida. But I listen to a lot. I don't always listen to a lot of episodes from podcasts, because I listen to two or three, and if I don't feel that they're moving me inside, uh-huh. then I probably won't go back to listen to it again. I don't want to hear a guy doing a podcast from the recliner in the day room. Right? I don't want to, that's not what I want to hear about. I want to hear about firefighters, and I don't care their rank, from just the regular blue shirt to the chief of department. I want to hear them talk about their passions, what's important to them in the fire service and why.
Uh-huh.
Because I hope that, you know, initially I had hoped, you know, if I could get 20, 25 firefighters when these guys pushed me in, that I'd be a big success.
Uh-huh.
You know, now after 3 years, we reached over 40 countries.
Yeah.
And so to me, I want to make sure that my listeners hear what's going to help them.
Right.
It's going to have meaning to them. And I mix it up. I mean, I have people talk about the behavioral health issue initiative this year. Very important this year. We're losing too many of our brothers and sisters to their own hand.
Absolutely.
That doesn't have to happen. And part of the reason I believe, having been working as a counselor in synagogues and stuff like that, and dealing with families and people with job problems, stuff like that, I think part of the problem is that those who have difficulty in the fire service aren't necessarily giving their best to the fire service. I think when you give, you get what you give.
Absolutely.
Okay. And that's life. Not just the fire service. It's life.
Uh-huh.
If you just sit back and want everybody to serve you, you might be a little disappointed. But if you get involved in your community as a volunteer, you volunteer at the hospital, you volunteer at a retirement home, you volunteer someplace to get to enhance your own life and what you see in life. If you don't do that, you're missing a whole, in my view, a whole part of life,
right?
What it's about. And if you don't give to that life that you lead, and I don't care what job you have, I don't care if you're a CEO of a Fortune 500, you're the guy who picks up the rubbish twice a week, you're the dentist, you're a stockbroker, you work, you're a pencil pusher at a company. If you give them who you really are, that person inside of you, they're going to give you back, goodness back. That's the key. Now, is it a guarantee? No, because we've all had crappy bosses.
Yeah.
Life. That's life in this world. I don't care what country you're listening in or where you live, but we all have crappy bosses in life. That's part of the life experience.
Absolutely.
But we should learn from that and grow from that so that we don't do the same thing. And that's what you bring to this game.
Is that,
the passion and what you feel with the trucks, apparatus, I couldn't agree with you more. Rich and I, if we saw a spot on the pumper or the quint, or the snorkel, I'm talking modern, sorry, should be talking about my day, on the snorkel, we'd ask the chief, okay, to pull it out so we could clean it. What do you boys want to clean it for? Because it's a little bit dirty, chief. We think it should be clean. And that was it, 2 hours. We'd knock that, you know, wash it, dry it by hand.
Yeah.
Where we needed, you know, we would just, tire shine. We wanted that apparatus to sparkle.
Uh-huh.
Why? Were we trying to impress the people? No. It's our house.
Exactly.
It's our house. We need to clean it. We got to keep ourselves clean. Yeah, I wish we knew about our bunker gear in those days, the PFAS and carcinogens that was in all the stuff. Because I brought my, you know, as a volunteer, the first few months I had, we would hang in the station, we'd don it there. But then they let us take it home with us. I could put it in the trunk. I put it in the back seat. I'd bring it into during the winters when I was in Syracuse. So I could just put my gear on before I had to go outside at 30 below. I don't know what I brought home.
Right.
I recently did have my PFAS levels tested. By my hematologist, and thank God, in this test, everything was zero.
Oh, okay. So
that was good to know, because we had at least 155-gallon pails of AFFF. Because our chief was a consultant with 3M. So he didn't have to pay for AFFF, I believe.
Right.
We had it, and we used it all the time in training. I was just lucky that in those 3.5 years, I never got anything on my skin, nothing. And I only got a little bit on my boots or the bottom of my bunker pants. That was the most I had. But that's still, knowing that the PFAS was in my gear, going all the way back to 77, with the testing that Dr. Peasley did from Notre Dame, I was worried. What did I do to myself and my family? You know, have I poisoned them? Have I, you know, but thank God, as I said, my recent test, and I would strongly urge every firefighter, current or former firefighter, get yourself tested for PFAS levels. Most insurances will cover them. Medicare covered mine. And my doctor said he wouldn't push the test unless he could get them authorized to be covered. Because he says they can be very expensive. That he didn't want to have to come out of my pocket. So it took him a couple of months to get Medicare to approve it, and they did. And so I got a good result. But I want to urge, and those of you who are regular listeners and viewers know that we push the cancer initiative. And please, if you haven't done it already, even if your department doesn't do it, please talk with your physician. Tell them who you are, what you do, and see if they can get your PFAS test covered by your health insurance carrier. So important today. Yes, we can clean our bunker gear. We can clean the engine and the pumper and the rescues. We can clean all that stuff. And we have body wipes and stuff like that. But the PFAS is insidious. It gets in through our pores when we're sweating, when we're working, just like the carcinogens did. And we knew that starting in 2007, basically 2016, 2017. Then we learned about PFAS 2.5-3 years ago. We give ourselves 100% to our communities. We need to know that we can do that for as long as, God willing, we can.
Absolutely.
You know?
Yeah.
And so you have to take care of your personal health. You have to take care of your personal welfare. But after your family and your community, that department that you're in, whether you're a volunteer, whether you're part pay, whether you're career, whether you're WUI, your department, your community needs you. They depend on you. And as you said, Danny, you know, you basically quoted the late, great Chief Bruno. Our job is to take care of Mrs. Smith on her worst day, even if her worst day is her cat up a tree.
Right.
And we go there as professional. We don't, oh, crap, we're here again. No, we always have that smile. Hi, Mrs. Smith. You know, did Buster get away again? No worries. We'll grab the ladder. We'll get him down for you like we did a couple of weeks ago.
Right.
We smile. It's just, thank you. Thank you, boy, so much. Thank you. It's our pleasure to take care of you, Mrs. Smith. You drive away and you can say what you want. But when you're in front of Mrs. Smith, you got to be the best pro that you can be. Okay. You don't have to be the chief to talk to Mrs. Smith. Mrs. Smith will talk to anybody who gets off that apparatus to help her. And it's your job to smile and treat her kindly and politely, take care of her need, and go back to what you have to do. But that's who we are. That's what the community sees. That's why I've always said, when you go to the, let's say the A shift is going to go to the supermarket, pick up food for lunch and dinner for the night. Everyone's going to buy in. And you happen to be walking through the store, and a parent come there with, they have a little child, a little girl or a little boy. And they, the parent says, look, that's a fire, firefighter over there. And they come up to you. You can't say, I'm too busy shopping. I don't. You got to take those 2 or 3 minutes. Give them a sticker, whatever you have. Give them a brochure. Give the parents a brochure. But just talk to that child. Get down to their level. Say, yeah, I'm a fireman. I'm a firefighter. Yeah, I'm a fire lady. Yeah, this is what I do. Are you like firefighters? Yeah, well, I have a badge or a sticker that I can give you. And remember, you always have to be careful. Don't play. If you just take those 3 or 4 minutes, you will have an impact on not only that child, but their parent.
Right.
Who's with them.
Right.
And that's going to be a good impression you're going to leave with that parent. So they're going to know that's the firefighter from our community. That's that guy or gal is protecting us, our home, our community, the people we love. And I think that's part of what you deliver in saying being a student of the game. It's not just how many conferences you go to.
Right.
How many books you read. It's who you are. It has to be your character. Is absolutely being a student of the game 24/7.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And I can't think of a better name for a podcast than what you chose. Because it's the epitome of who we should try to be.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
That's who we should be. Every firefighter, you come into this job. Again, I call it a job. We all call it a job. Whether we're career or volunteer, it makes no difference. We want to be the best that we can be. We may not always make it to the big national conferences.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's money or family situations. Doesn't get it. That doesn't mean you still can't learn. We have the trade magazines. We have regional conferences, local conferences, much less expensive, only maybe 4, 5, 6 hours maybe over a weekend. You could certainly manage that. And don't be afraid to go to your department and ask them, listen, Chief, I really want to go to this conference. I need, they're going to be doing, going through that door and how to get through that door and those locks and stuff like that. I need that. I just haven't grasped it right, and I don't do it well. I'd like to really improve. Is there a way you could help me get to this conference? Don't be afraid to ask that question.
Absolutely. Because
I'll tell you, your officer or your chief will be more impressed that you say, I would like to go and learn more, than saying, no, I'm busy with the family that weekend.
Uh-huh.
Not that you have to impress your officer or your chief. That's not what this is about. This is about learning from Danny. What he's saying is, be a student of the game. Most of us didn't like going to public school. We had good teachers. We had crappy teachers.
Right.
And there are good instructors out in the fire service, and there are crappy instructors out in the fire service.
Yeah.
Look for the good ones. Vet them. You got the internet. You can look any presenter that's going to be at a conference up online. Find out who they are. Find out what they've done. Do your research. And if you don't think that that instructor and the reviews you've seen for that instructor are for you, then find somebody else. Find something else. But never give up the desire to learn more about who we are and what we do. This is what Danny's talking about. This is ongoing learning every time he does a podcast. He's trying to get his guests, along with himself, to teach you. To give you in an hour or two, an hour and a half, give you something that you can take back, that you're not just sitting or, you know, in the chair listening. You're not on the bike just listening. You really, I've always defined it this way. We have two senses with our ears. We hear and we listen. I can hear my fan above me turning. It's an older fan in this room. I can hear that. But I'm listening to what Danny has to say. We hear a lot in our lives. We hear a lot in the firehouse. but how much do we listen to? And do we look under the microscope for the value of what we listen to? Because in any firehouse, there's a lot of boasting.
Oh yeah.
Some of it's in good fun, and that's cute, and that gives us all a laugh. But some of it is an overinflated ego, and we've all seen that in a firehouse. Don't aim for the big egos. Aim for the instructor who people say, this guy knows his stuff inside out. I've learned so much from him, from his articles in the trades, and I went to a conference he was at or she was at. Man, it was like they were talking to me directly. That's the kind of person. And Danny, talking with you, that's what it sounds like for me, for listening to you. You are that person who can teach, who can convey the message. And the passion that you bring to your podcast and to your job is enviable. And I hope that those who watch this episode and listen to it will take that away as I am. That what you're bringing to the game, sorry, this keeps coming up from the regular vernacular. What you're bringing to this game are aces and kings.
Appreciate it.
I really do. I listened a little bit after Knicks, and now it's going to be regular, and I'm going to be adding it to the list. Before, matter of fact, I'm going to write it in when I do the PSA for the end of this episode. I'm going to write it in and putting you in there as well.
Because appreciate it.
It needs to be there. It needs to be there. And I waited because I want to, I asked Nick, I said, listen, can you connect me with Danny? Because I really would like to have him on the show after listening to the podcast. He says, yeah, I'll do the intro. And I just knew not only did I have to have you, but listening to you speak on Nick's podcast that I knew, I just could tell, I could hear the passion in who you are as a firefighter. And there's so much that we share. I mean, you're a man, you have faith in God, you're a family man, you're a firefighter, you're a community person. You've made that clear with being when you were in New York and coming as soon as, you didn't waste any time. As soon as you came to North Carolina, you jumped into that first volunteer department. You could. Even though you were uprooted and, 1,100 miles away,
right.
You said, this is what I want to do. I still want to do this job, and I'll find a place down here that'll take me to do it.
Yep.
You didn't let it ride. You did not let it ride. That passion, you got bit by the bug, and it just never let go.
Yeah, that's for sure.
And you know what? That's, to me, that's a good firefighter who gets bitten by that bug. And with adversity, tragedy, we see crap that we don't want anybody else to have to see.
Uh-huh.
We still, yes, we used to just keep it in. My day, it was told, suck it up.
Right.
We don't say that anymore.
Right.
And I'll tell you that my good friend Rich and I were on one call that every time we're together, and this coming Sunday will be no different, that we talk about this call because it was one of the worst calls that we saw. It was the worst call that we saw together, basically. And we both kind of keep it tucked away in the secret place.
Uh-huh.
But know that we can't let it boil over even 40 years later.
Right.
But you know, as a firefighter, and a lot of our firefighter listeners will know, that we have seen crap that sticks with us and that we really can't talk with anybody else about it except another firefighter.
Absolutely. Yep.
And, we've talked briefly about the Behavioral Health Initiative. Don't, if somebody comes to you, they need you as a sounding board. Don't be too busy for them. Don't push them away. Say, you know what? Give me 10 minutes. We'll go sit at the kitchen table. Whatever you got to say, we'll go in the bunk room and we'll talk. Whatever you need to tell me about. and they'll thank you. You'll see their eyes open up a little bit more, and they're going to say, thanks. I'll see you there. Because that moment can make the could make a life and death difference.
Uh-huh.
You don't know it. You can't judge. Just to say, I'm too busy. I don't have time to talk with you now. Because that could be the little flame that lights the big fire.
Right.
We can't do that. We need more firefighters today. We know how many openings in volunteers are almost impossible to find today. Yes, society has changed dramatically since my day. Even though my wife worked 6 days a week when I was a volunteer firefighter, we didn't have any kids yet, but she worked. And she knew I ran night calls. She knew I ran day calls. If I wasn't busy at the office, I would respond if it was a major call. But she backed me up. She wasn't wild when she was kind of happy when we moved upstate New York. And then going to the grocery store, we happened to pass a big red brick building that said, DeWitt Volunteer Fire Department. She goes, oh, and she saw this little smirk on my face. She goes, oh, God, no, not again. But she supported me. Even when both kids were born, she still supported knowing how important this was to me. And even when we drive together and I have to stop, she picks up the phone. She calls 911. She knows exactly what to tell them. She looks around to get a location, tells them what they see, tells them her husband's a former firefighter medic who's out with a bag now trying to tend to. She knows that. And she's okay with that. Is she worried about it a little bit more now than she was because of what we see on the roadways today?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Yeah. She's very concerned about that. And I am too. But I can't let that stop me from helping somebody in an emergency. I have to be, as Dr. Rich Gassaway says, you know, about situational awareness, when you're on any call, even if it's Mrs. Smith's cat in the tree call, you have to keep your head on that swivel. You have to maintain your situational awareness. Danny's a driver. A driver will tell you today, it is not easy to drive a fire apparatus.
Yeah.
Not easy to drive an EMS apparatus. It's not easy to drive a police car. You know why? Because a lot of people just don't care. They don't care about the siren. They don't care about the lights. They don't care what color they are. All they want to do is listen to their talk on the phone, send text messages, watch videos on their infotainment system while they're driving. That's what's important to them. You got to come through to rescue somebody who's had a full arrest. They don't care. I got someplace to go. I'm more important than that old big red truck. I don't have to.
Yeah. Go. Yeah.
Right? I mean, you see this all the time.
Yeah.
We need to show our communities who we really are. Okay. Does that mean letting them back in to visit? Yeah. Does that mean being out there and being visible to them? Yeah. Does it mean being nice to them and educating them politely? Absolutely. Because one lesson could save a life, that of a citizen or of a firefighter. Listen to a Student of the Game podcast. I'm saying things that I will guarantee you Danny has already had or will have on his podcast, because this is what he cares about. Us being the best that we can be. We don't have to be the best in the class. We just have to be the best that we can be.
Absolutely. Yep. For sure. Okay? For sure. And
as I always say, you have to look in that mirror, because that person in the mirror who looks back at you knows every single secret that you have.
Uh-huh.
You can't hide anything from that person in the mirror. So you got to stand, as my dad said to me when I got a C+ in anthropology on a report. And he said, did you look in the mirror like I told you to? I said, yes, Pop, I did. He says, what did he tell you? He says, you spent a lot of time there. You did well. I said, okay, thanks, Dad. He says, but that's it. There were smarter kids than you in that school. That's all. Doesn't mean you're a bad kid. It just means that's where you were on that subject. Because, but you're not going to be taking that subject anymore. It's just requirement.
Right.
So don't worry about it. You're a firefighter. You're a paramedic. You're a police officer. Look in that mirror. What does that person looking back at you say? Are they proud of you? Then damn it, you're a good person. And you care. And that's what it's all about.
Absolutely.
That's what it's all about, caring, right? About your job,
and
about
your
family and your community.
Absolutely.
That's what it boils down to.
Yes, sir.
Danny, I can't thank you enough. I know you got a really busy schedule. I know you got to run. Thank you for spending time with us today. It's invaluable. It's been a great podcast, a great interview. Folks, will have the video hopefully later today. Today is Tuesday the 19th, latest by tomorrow, Wednesday. And we hopefully will have the audio version by Thursday. So tune in, listen, learn from it. Then go to your podcast platform that you enjoy. Look up Student of the Game, Danny Beauvais, B-E-A-U-V-A-I-S. Danny Beauvais, you may see Brown Boy on that list as well. When you do, sign up. Listen to this podcast, everyone that he does, because you're going to learn from it. He cares. He's not there to be a DJ. He's doing his podcast because he cares about the fire service, his own and everybody else who wants to be a student of the game.
Danny, appreciate it, sir.
Thanks so much, man. It's been a pleasure to meet you. Now I know even better what Nick was talking about. he just said, you're going to like this guy. He's a no BS firefighter. He loves what he does. He loves being a firefighter. He loves what we do. And he just wants us to be the best that we can be. That was what Nick said. And couldn't be more succinct. And he couldn't be more right. Couldn't be
more. I appreciate it. Thank you. Thank you very much.
You know what? As we always say, once you're on, you have a lifetime invitation to come back anytime you want.
Awesome. Okay. Awesome.
So I look forward to that opportunity to have you back with us again.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No problem.
Folks, if you're watching the video, this will be the end of it. If you're listening to the audio, you know we're going to have a little bit more after these words. But I do want to, again, thank our guest today, Danny Beauvais. He's a driver, senior firefighter with the Mooresville Fire Department, North Carolina. Only a few hours away from where I lived in Greensboro and right around the corner from the home of NASCAR, okay, yeah. Charlotte and Shelby and Mooresville. Wonderful communities, by the way, down there. And I'd be remiss if I didn't say hello to our friends at Albemarle Sweet Shop in Albemarle, North Carolina, one of the most delicious bakeries you could ever go, owned by the former chief of the Albemarle Fire Department. And it's just a great state. And if you're a firefighter in North Carolina, man, you've got a great place to be to do this job. Again, whether you're career, volunteer, part pay, makes no difference. This is a great state. I love it. I only wish I could have moved back there when I wanted to several years ago. And then we found out our younger daughter was moving here, and now I have a grandson. So that changes the whole dynamic. But
absolutely, yeah.
I still love the state of North Carolina. And I'm glad that Danny's there and friends in Greensboro Fire and Charlotte Fire, where Andy is, just all of you. You're a great group of people. I'm so thrilled that I was able to learn and get my roots there with you. So again, our thanks to Danny Beauvais for joining us. Please tune into his podcast, Student of the Game, on all major podcast platforms. We'll be back next week with Jim Bernecca will be joining us next week to return. And we talk about the problems with our gear, with PFAS, where we're going, what we see in the near future, hopefully, and a little bit more about also the cancer initiative in the fire service. Please make that part of who you are, taking care of yourself, the cancer initiative, getting checked regularly with your own doctor or through maybe Life Scan wellness centers. If you need more information about it, we have the guy to get you there. So just let us know. Thanks for tuning in, folks. We hope to see you next week once again. To all, stay safe, stay well, and let's not forget to take care of each other. Take care now, folks. Bye-bye.
You're listening to Five Alarm Task Force.
Are you one of those people who thinks it's okay to drive stoned? I mean, what's the worst that can happen? You end up driving below the speed limit? It's no big deal, right? Wrong. The truth is, your reaction times slow way down when you're high. You not only put yourself in danger, but everyone around you. Talk about a buzzkill. Stop kidding yourself. It's not okay to drive high. If you've been using marijuana in any form, do not get behind the wheel. If you feel different, you drive different. Drive high, get a DUI. Paid for by NHTSA.
145 over 92.
180 over 111.
I had a heart attack and a cardiac arrest and then a stroke.
Your blood pressure numbers could change your life. Lowering your high blood pressure could save you from a heart attack or stroke. If you've stopped your treatment plan, restart it, or talk to your doctor about creating one that works better for you, start taking the right steps at manageyourbp.org.
Now I'm, trying to get better, stronger than ever.
Brought to you by the American Heart Association, American Medical Association, and the Ad Council.
Hi, this is Steve. As I was reading the promo for one of our great sponsors, Insight Training LLC, and our good friend Andy Starnes, about a conference they're going to be having in the Mile High setting. They talk about the line of duty deaths and injuries. Now, I'm not sure how many of you follow these. You might receive the news blasts from the trades and see headlines here and there. But the fact is that all of us should realize and know that after the tragedy of a line of duty death in the fire service, there are many organizations and watchdogs that look over the reports, the information, the facts, etc. And probably the most well-known is NIOSH. And subsequent to any line of duty death, there are going to be numerous investigations. NIOSH is the one that we often look to learn from. They go into great detail in their reports what led up to and might have caused the line of duty death. These are not just reports that the chief of the department should read or the head of the municipality should read. NIOSH reports are something that every one of us, active, retired, career, volunteer, part pay, WUI, it is imperative for us to learn from these tragedies. And the only way we can is if you stop saying to yourself, that's not going to be me. That doesn't happen to me. I can't let that happen to me. I won't let that happen to me. None of that holds water. That's like a screen door in a submarine. You can't even know what you don't know. As we look at these and the study that our late great leader, Chief Don Abbott, conducted for many years, he documented the reason as best as could be determined for every mayday that was called on a fire ground. And he spent years building a small little community on a tabletop to help us learn from our mistakes. However, just as like when we were in school and the teacher corrected a paper, maybe it was a math paper, maybe it was an English test, whatever. They give corrections and tell us how to better ourselves, what we were doing on that test. We are obligated for the memory of those who came before us and made the ultimate sacrifice to learn what caused or led to a line of duty death. You can read all the great fire books you want. And there are some terrific ones out there. You can learn at some of the best conferences we have, local, regional, national, and hear great information. However, to know about a line of duty death, even if it was in an apartment, a department across the country from you, that doesn't mean it can't happen to your department. It's too tragic if we learn after the fact. We must not be complacent. We must focus our energy As you well know, if you're a regular listener or viewer of this podcast, you know how we always preach firefighter education. You must always be willing to learn. The day you don't want to learn is the day you should walk out that door. But part of the learning isn't just tying knots, lifting heavy equipment with a 20-foot roof. No. What you need to learn is survivability and the right way of doing things. That's what we have to learn. And the way we do that is learning from the reports that NIOSH puts out. No, it's not light reading, and it just might bring a quiver to our lips and a tear to our eyes. But that's what we must do. We must sacrifice our complacency and comfort level to read why a brother or sister firefighter lost their life in the line of duty. You want to honor them and their memory and their dedication to this job that we love? Do so by heeding and learning from what happened to them so that it does not happen to you. And that's my view. We're really glad to have you listening to 5 Alarm Task Force, but we also want you to know that there are other terrific fire service podcasts available. Here's the short list. Number 1, Beneath the Helmet with Chief Arjuna George. Number 2, Student of the Game with Danny Beauvais. Number 3, B-Shifter with Chief John Vance, Josh Blum, and Nick Brunicini. Number 4, The Professional Brotherhood with Chief Brian Soler. Number 5, The Five-Tool Firefighter with Nick Higgins of the Firehouse Tribune. Number 6, Station Talk with Assistant Chief Tom Marciano. Number 7, Flow and Vent. Number 8, DTFF, Down to Fight Fire from British Columbia Volunteers. Number 9, Better Every Shift with Aaron Zamzow. Number 10, Firefighter Success with Captain Jim Moss. Number 11, Code 3, The Firefighters Podcast. Number 12, Make Do with Nick Peppard and Sean Duffy. Number 13, Getting Salty. And number 14, Fit to Fight Fire. Remember, to be a great firefighter, you must always be willing to learn. This message is brought to you by 5 Alarm Task Force Corp. One mission, one family, first responders helping each other.
Did you know that 90% of American communities are served by volunteer fire departments? And that many of those departments are actively looking for more volunteers? When you hear those sirens, do you say to yourself, "Wish I could do that"? If you have the drive to serve, you can be a volunteer too. Volunteer and combo departments are always looking for new recruits. You'll be trained in the latest firefighting and rescue techniques and protecting your community at the same time. You will be joining the ranks of over 1 million men and women who serve their cities and towns, protecting lives and property. Did you know that the founder of the first volunteer fire department was Benjamin Franklin? If old Ben can do it, so can you. Drop by your local fire department and introduce yourself. You just might know some of the folks already there. Before you know it, those volunteers will be like family. Anyone can be a volunteer. Sure, it takes time and effort, but in your heart, you'll realize that it's all worth it. Want more information? Contact your local fire department or visit makemeafirefighter.org. Alternate. Did you know that 7 out of 10 firefighters in the U.S. are volunteers? And the number of volunteer firefighters is declining every year. Most American fire companies are working to recruit new members. When you hear those sirens, do you say to yourself, "Wish I could do that"? If you have the drive to serve, you can be a volunteer too. Volunteer fire departments are always looking for new recruits. You'll be trained in the latest firefighting and rescue techniques, as well as emergency medical services to protect your community. Volunteers are also needed to help with fundraisers, conduct fire safety programs, and pitch in around the fire station. Drop by your local fire department and introduce yourself. You just might know some of the folks already there. Before you know it, those volunteers will be like family. Anyone can be a volunteer. Sure, it takes time and effort, but in your heart, you'll realize that it's all worth it. Want more information? Contact your local fire department or visit makemeafirefighter.org. Presented by the National Volunteer Fire Council and 5 Alarm Task Force.
And that wraps this episode of 5 Alarm Task Force, brought to you by 5 Alarm Task Force Corp. One family, one mission, first responders helping each other. We'd like to thank our guest, Danny Beauvais, for joining us to discuss his podcast, Student of the Game, and why he came up with it. Did you know you can find us and subscribe to us on all the top podcast platforms? Just search for 5 Alarm Task Force. We also want to thank our sponsors, Insight Training LLC, the Firehouse Tribune, and LifeScan Wellness Centers, as well as our promotional partners, Chief Miller Products and Sites, Thin Red Line Decon, HassAlert, Pry Guy Levers and Estabars, Silver Arrow Coaching and Consulting, the EFT Corporation, Health KPI, the Firefighter Cancer Foundation, the Firefighter Cancer Support Network, the Albemarle Sweet Shop, the North Florida Fire Expo, and the Great Florida Fire School. If you'd like to be a guest with us or have a suggestion for a show, please drop us a line to info@5-alarmtaskforcecorp.org. You can follow us on X, formerly known as Twitter, and Instagram at 5alarmtaskforce, on Facebook at facebook.com/5. Then A is in Apple, T is in Tango, F is in Foxtrot, C is in Charlie. And on YouTube, please subscribe to our channel at the 5-Alarm Task Force Corp. Stay up to date with all the news about our podcast, our nonprofit foundation, our blog, and our website at www.5alarmtaskforcecorp.org. I'm Steve Green. Until next time, stay safe, stay well, and let's make sure everyone goes home.